There are 10 words in Scripture that make the difference for those who desire to live fully for Jesus Christ. These 10 words proclaim a powerful promise. They define the Christian faith, and they provide a personal confidence to the heart of every believer. If you will understand them, they will radically change your life. If you will believe them, they will breathe renewed strength into your heart and sustain you through the most difficult seasons of life. Stay with us and learn these 10 important words.
The 10 most powerful words you will ever hear. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This verse is the basis of our series and the foundation of our faith in Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God has given us an incredible promise in His Word that opens the door to biblical faith and spiritual victory. In our series, Living Life Through Christ, we will learn how the essence of our faith is found in the promises of God. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Knowing God.
We are sealed until our redemption, until the day of our redemption. Verse 14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. You see, the church is the purchased possession. Those of us who are the redeemed are the purchased possession, or the bride of Christ, as we are sometimes referred to. And God says, I want you to know your salvation is settled until the day that I call you home, whether that be by death, whether that be by the rapture of the church. It is a settled issue. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 says it this way, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God says, I'm going to give you a permanent sealing. I want you to know it's something that is settled in heaven. It is a settled issue, the matter of salvation. A great preacher of the 19th century by the name of F.B. Meyer told about two Germans who wanted to climb the Matterhorn. This had been their dream from an early time in their life, to climb up and to scale this icy mountain peak. And so they began to talk to some guides about helping them, and they secured three guides who would help them go up the side of the Matterhorn. And the men roped themselves together as the journey began. They had a guide and a traveler, and then a guide and a traveler, and then a guide at the end. And each of them were roped together. They began to make the ascent up into the hillside. They would notch their toes in very carefully as they went up through the ice. Finally, however, there was a man, after going up just a little ways, the last man, in fact, in the series of men, lost his footing, and he fell down. And as he fell down, the other men held, their feet were holding in the ice, but finally the next man slipped, he could hold no longer. And then the next man slipped, he could hold no longer. The next man finally fell to the ground. Well, as they were all there laying on the ground, there was only one man standing firm, and that was the very first guide. That guide had driven a spike very deeply into the ice, and because he held his ground, the men beneath him held their footing, and they were able to regain their footing. F.B. Meyer, the great British preacher, said this of that story. He said, I am like one of those men who slipped, but thank God I am bound in a living partnership to Jesus Christ, and because He stands, I will never perish. I'm thankful today that my life is anchored on the rock, Christ Jesus, and that my salvation is sealed by the Spirit of God. And because of that, today we have the eternal security of the believer. Listen, we as Christians today should be thankful that God says, yes, I want you to know me, and I want to know you. And because of that, I offer a permanent sealing for each and every one of my children. Well, notice this morning, not only a personal salvation, not only a permanent sealing, but if you want to know God, then it comes to this, and that is a powerful sanctification. The process of knowing God can be referred to as the sanctified life, or a life that is more and more unto Him, more and more set apart unto Him. And I want you to see this with me this morning in our text, if you would, beginning in verse number 11. The Bible says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ." Now, I want to share this morning with you three truths about sanctification. And with each of these truths, I'm going to ask and answer a question that I hope will help you. And if you're taking notes, you might want to jot some of this down as we learn today about knowing God. The first thing you'll notice in your notes this morning is the purpose of sanctification. The purpose of sanctification. And the question I want to answer here is this question: why do I exist? What am I here for? Why does God leave me on this earth? And the purpose of that is seen here in the Word of God. And we find it here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12. And I want you to understand it this morning. It says that we, speaking of the Christians, we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. The purpose of sanctification, the purpose of our existence, is that our lives might bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, God is not being honored today by the network television station. He's being dishonored. He's not being honored today in the average university. He's not being honored today in so many areas of this world that He created. But there is one place that He is looking today whereby He might be glorified, and that is from the people that He has redeemed and that He has sealed. He says, "I want you, the church, to be to the praise of My glory. I want you to lift me up, sing about me, deflect the praise to me. When something good happens to you, remind this old, lost, and sinful world that it is all because of Jesus Christ." Well, I tell you what, He's a good God, and He's worthy of our praise. Ephesians 3:21 says, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. Unto Him be glory in the church. Now, there are only two choices on the shelf: serving God or serving self. And when we do everything to the glory of God, then we are fulfilling the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to glorify God. The purpose of this life is to glorify Him. And as I am growing in sanctification, as I am being more and more set apart to Him and His purposes, then my life will glorify Him. Notice secondly today, the position of the sanctified. The position of the sanctified. And with this second thought, I want to answer the question, what does God think about me? What does God think about me? You see, if you are saved, then positionally you are already set apart by the Holy Spirit of God. We saw that a moment ago. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, you are sanctified positionally. But God says, "I want you to know what I think about you." And so let's just see this very quickly. First of all, in verse number 4 of our passage today, Ephesians 1, notice it says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." The first thing I want you to see is that you and I, as God's children, are chosen unto holiness. He says, "I want you to know that I have chosen you. I have chosen you to be a people without blame, to be a godly people." Ephesians 2:10 says it this way, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, when you see the words "chosen" or "predestined," we're going to see in a moment, that is not lifting up the concept of fatalism. It doesn't mean, why try to tell someone about Christ? God already knows who's going to get saved. Of course God knows who's going to get saved. It's according to His foreknowledge that He knows that. But when you see the words "chosen" or "predestined," It is a reminder that God, in saving you, had a reason for saving you beyond keeping us out of hell. By the way, if that was the only reason he saved me, I'm glad he saved me. I had a fellow tell me one time, well, I just want to go to hell with all my buddies. That's an ignorant statement. 1 second in hell and a man will wish he would have received Jesus Christ as his Savior. But a mature Christian thinks beyond escaping hellfire and going to heaven. And he says, why am I here? And God says, I have ordained before in my foreknowledge, in my understanding of you, before you were even born, he says, it was my will that you should walk in good works, that you should be chosen unto holiness. God loves you and he chose you for that purpose. Notice secondly, we are chosen unto holiness. Secondly, we are predestined unto adoption. We are predestined unto adoption. Now notice what it says in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now notice this, God says, I have predestined you unto adoption. Romans 8 says this in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, or as we said earlier, insecurity, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, this passage is not teaching a limited atonement. It is not teaching fatalism. It is saying that God has a predestined plan for the saved, and that a part of his plan, besides sealing me, besides me walking in holiness and glorifying him, a part of his plan that was predetermined in eternity past is that I would be an adopted child of his, that I would cry unto him, Abba, Father. He says, I have predetermined that you would be a part of my family. Hey, you may come from a single parent family. You may come from a family that is when they put the word dysfunctional in the dictionary, your family picture's there. But I've got news for you. It doesn't matter what your family background is like. If you are a child of God, then you have been adopted by God into his family. What a wonderful promise that God gives to us. He says, I have chosen you unto holiness. I have predestined you unto adoption. And if you want to know what God thinks about you, thirdly, jot this down or underline it. He says, I want you to know you are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved. Verse 6, notice this. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now just stop and think about it. He said, I love you so much, I shed my blood for you. He said, I want you to feel so secure, the Spirit of God is sealing you. He said, I want you to understand my love for you is so strong that before you were ever born, I chose you for a purpose in life, that you might glorify me through living a holy life, and that you would be adopted into my family, and that you would never have to worry about where you stand with me. He said, I want you to know you are totally accepted in the beloved. Boy, you talk about doing all things through Christ. I know some Christians that if they could just get this truth, it would be the greatest victory for them to realize that they are accepted by God and loved by God. They don't have to tithe to gain his favor. They don't have to do things to get God's acceptance. He loves and accepts you where you are. And the motivation for serving should not be an insecure heart. It should be a secure heart, knowing that God loves you, knowing how much he accepts you. 1 Peter 2:5 says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. God says, here comes one of my children again. They're singing to me. They're giving to me. And he doesn't say, I don't want to hear that. He says, that's one of my children through Christ. He says, this is acceptable to me because of Christ. I want to hear what they have to say. Friend, I want you to understand something this morning. God couldn't love you any more than he does today. Listen, nothing you will ever do or say will diminish his love for you. Now I want you to see, finally, the process of sanctification. The process of sanctification. Now, there's a thought process here. We see the purpose of sanctification. Why do I exist? To glorify God. We see the position of the sanctified. This shows me what God thinks about me. I'm totally accepted in Him. But then we see the process of sanctification. You say, if I'm accepted in Him, why do I need to read my Bible? Why do I continue to go on? He loves me anyways. And here it is, friend. Because He loves you, you should desire to know Him more. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, you ever watch somebody fall in love? They don't say to you something like this, well, my girlfriend loves me, I'm not going to talk to her anymore. That's all I needed to know. She told me she loves me, why spend money on hot dogs and hamburgers? Much less sirloin steaks. She loves me. That's a settled issue. I'm going to go off and do other things in life now. Oh, no. At least that's not how it works with my kids. If they find out someone loves them and they love someone, guess what they want to do? They want to spend time together. Hey, you know what we found out in the Bible today? God loves you. He wants you to be secure in that. You know what our response to that should be? I want to get to know Him more. I want to know this God who loves me like that. How can I get deeper in my relationship with God? And that's what we call the process of sanctification. Now, how do we get to know Him? Notice the process and we'll be done. Number one, we get to know Him through the cleansing of the Word of God. The cleansing of the Word of God. Now, Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Now, the word cleanse there is the word katharos, the Greek word katharos, which means to clean or purify. God says if you want your life cleaned and purified, then it happens through the Word of God. Stephen Olford said, revival is an invasion from heaven that brings a conscious awareness to God. Some Christians have gone so long without prayer or Bible reading or preaching that they can live a lifestyle that brings no glory to God, and they think nothing of it. There's no conscious awareness of God because they have not known revival for so long. They have gotten so far away from God. And what they need is the hydrojet of God's Word cleansing their heart and bringing them back to relationship with Him. Oh, God never stopped loving them. But somewhere along the line, they stopped growing in sanctification. It takes the cleansing of the Word of God. Secondly, if we will have revival, it will take, secondly, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll tell you what I'll pray this week many times for myself and by the grace of God with some fasting as well. I'm going to pray that God's Holy Spirit will convict me. And I ask you to do the same. You want me to pray that you'll get convicted, Pastor? That'll be fine. But pray that you would be convicted. If you want to know God, pray that the Holy Spirit will convict your heart of whatever He wants to convict you about. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. It's probably in your notes. Let's say that together. Quench not the Spirit. And as the Word of God is given week after week, our prayer should be, Spirit of the living God, convict me. Show me what I need to have changed in my life so that I would be what You want me to be, that I might walk in the Spirit. I believe if every Christian in America would hear the Word of God and allow the Spirit to convict them, that revival is still possible in America. I believe that. The question is, if My people, which are called by My name, will humble themselves and seek My face. God says it's going to have to happen with His people when revival comes. God's people must feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we must respond to the Holy Spirit if revival will come. And when there is sin in our life, our family, our city, and the Spirit convicts us of it, we must fall on our knees and say, God, You are right, I am wrong, and I want You to sanctify me unto Yourself. so that revival can come into my life. I want to fulfill my purpose in life by glorifying you. And if this does not glorify you, then I agree with you. There first comes the cleansing of the word. There secondly comes the conviction of the believer. And I'm saying this. If every Baptist in America would feel conviction, if every Christian would feel conviction and follow God, then revival will come. But notice thirdly, not only the cleansing of the word, the conviction of the spirit, and I know this is in your notes. Thirdly, let's say it together, the what? The what? Repentance of a believer. There's another word we don't hear a lot of anymore, repent. You know, some guy says, hey, what'd your pastor talk about yesterday? Oh, he talked about repent. He did. Let me tell you something. Repent is a good Bible word. Amen. Repent means to change my mind and direction of life. Amen. I'm saying that even after we get saved, there are times, ladies and gentlemen, when we need to repent. Even after we're saved, we need to say, God, I need to turn around in this area. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. Moms and dads, listen to this. Sometimes our kids do things they shouldn't do. And we say, Johnny! And he comes running in and he says, you hit your sister and I saw you do it. And he feels bad that he got caught. But now wait a minute. Paul says, I'm glad not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. Now, we want our children not just to feel bad that they hit their sister. We want them to stop hitting their sister. Right? And that's what Paul said. He said, when you truly repented, you stopped doing what you were doing. And that's the definition biblically of repentance. The believers at Corinth were challenged to repent of their sin, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. The Sunday school teacher once asked the class what the word repentance was all about. And a little boy put up his hand. He said, repentance is when you feel sorry for your sins. And a little girl put up her hand and she said, it's not just being sorry. It's being sorry enough to quit. Sorry enough to quit. Revival will come when we are sorry enough to quit. All of us are sorry when we do something. We're sorry that we've transgressed. And that's a start. But repentance is when we're sorry enough to quit. Revival is the people of God living in the power of an ungrieved, unquenched Holy Spirit of God. And I ask you this morning, do you want to know God? But where does it all begin? In knowing God. Knowing God. And here's how we know God: through a personal salvation. My friend, has there been a time in your life when you called upon God and you said, Lord Jesus, as a sinner, I ask you to come into my heart and save me from my sin? Has there been a time when you experienced a personal salvation? At that very moment, if you did, then there was a permanent sealing. And if you've been wrestling with how much does God love me or am I really saved, then I want you to know that when you asked Jesus to come into your heart, you were sealed at that moment by His Spirit. It's a settled issue. And then thirdly, a powerful sanctification. Are you willing to go through the process of cleansing, convicting, and repentance in order to draw nigh to God? R.A. Torrey said, let a few people, they need not be many, get thoroughly right with God themselves, and a revival will come.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. If you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.